Baran awoke to the crescent moon-shaped scar between her shoulder blades tingling, calling her to the beach, to Luna. She turned to face Tulu's side of the room. Her brother's body was still, his chest rising and falling in a steady rhythm. Barana slipped out of bed and tiptoed to the doorway. She pushed the curtain aside and entered the main room of the small wooden house that teetered on stilts above the sand. Papa snored from the other bedroom. Mama was probably cuddled up next to him with Marisol. The baby was like a tick, always attached to Mama's body. Nobody would notice Barana's absence. The tingling on her back turned to a persistent prickle. She hadn't sensed Luna all season. As far as she knew, her leatherback turtle had yet to lay a clutch. Maybe tonight would be the night. Barana slipped on her chancletas and opened the front door. The waves and crickets muffled her footsteps as she stepped off the rickety stairs and onto the shimmering sand. The wind sang through the palm fronds, and the moon above smiled. Guided by Luna's call, the warm breeze, and the sea, Barana approached her favorite place on Earth, the place where turtles roamed, where turquoise waters met the Caribbean sky, La Playa. The mighty Atlantic was 3 minutes from her house, and Barana knew the way to her beach by heart. She kicked off her sandals and ran barefoot through the palm trees, letting the fine sand brush against her brown toes. The wind cooled both her nerves and the sweat upon her brow. Pattaya's sweltering June weather was not for the faint of heart. As her eyes adjusted to the darkness, she paused to look up. The moon's barely visible crescent shape smiled down at her. Miles of sand stretched out before her. The cemetery was a few minutes away, at the west end of the beach. She was in no mood to bump into ghosts or the creepy creatures of local myth, so she ran east, energized by the starry sky, the ocean, and the knowing that her turtle was nearby. The waves lapped hungrily at her feet, the foam tickling them as she let the prickle in her scar guide her. She searched for tracks, any sign that Luna had come ashore, but there were none. She kicked the surf and wandered farther down La Playa. Still no evidence of her Baula. Maybe she needed to stay in one place. Her scar's tingling had become faint. Perhaps she had missed the sea turtle, or maybe Luna hadn't come onto the shore at all. Barana sank onto a large piece of driftwood. 10 minutes became 20. Finally, the prickle grew stronger. Luna was close. The cobalt sea glowed with green. Something was stirring a fluorescent plankton. As if it had been waiting for Barana, a leathery black head poked out of the surf. Flippers met sand as the Baula's enormous body emerged, close to 600 pounds if Barana had to guess. Her white star-like speckles glimmered against her black body. Barana approached the majestic creature, the moon-shaped scar confirming it was her beloved Luna. Side by side, they made their way up the sloping beach, Barana carefully keeping her distance. Maria always reminded them that turtles were wild creatures and told them to mind a turtle's space. Though Barana knew Luna's face by heart and could recognize the pink and white spots on her body, this turtle was not her pet. She belonged to the sea and sand. El mar y la arena.
Hola, amiga. I've missed you.
Barana's eyes teared up as she remembered the first time she saw Luna crawl ashore. She was 5 years old when it happened. Ever since then, when the nesting season drew near, Barana wondered if Luna would show up. Every other year, her scar would tingle, and she knew Luna had returned. Barana rubbed her eyes and sat quietly to watch as the Baula shifted her heavy body. She struggled awkwardly on the sand as she prepared to dig a pit. Tears slipped from the leatherback's face as she pushed the sand with her flippers to form the chamber for her eggs. Barana knew the sea turtle's lagrimas were a way to rid her body of salt, a simple scientific phenomenon. but she liked to believe the mama turtle cried for her babies, knowing she'd have to leave them and their lives to fate. Both good reasons to cry.